This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, and happy Tuesday. Thank you all so much for joining in. We've had a lot of fun today talking about Joe Biden's outburst at Peter Ducey, the one-horse pony, stupid SOB, as he is infamously known by the president. And we've talked about how Joe Biden can't seem to deal with the fact that people want to know his take on inflation and on the border and all of these things. He wants happy questions. He wants to be asked about ice cream and not the price of ice cream. He wants to be asked about the flavor of ice cream. Thank you very much.
I want a double dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
We talked a little bit about the Wuhan lab leak, and we talked a little bit about Joe Rogan versus Neil Young. And for the most part, it was all pretty upbeat and fun. We also had Lou Murray on, which, by the way, I want to issue a correction. He gave out his website, but it's BostonFirstResponderUnited.com. In case you're trying to find that, it's BostonFirstResponderUnited.com. Now we're going to get into some serious stuff here. We have Toby Leary joining us from Cape Gunworks. It's time for 2A Tuesday. What that means is I'm going to give everyone a chance to get on the line. I know the lines fill up quickly, so keep trying as the hour goes on. It's 844-500-4242. You can ask Toby Leary any question you want, whether it's about guns, brands of guns, ammo, licensing, his take on certain, you know, laws out there. Everything is on the table for Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. Again, it's 844-500-4242. Toby, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace. It's always good to talk to you.
All right, so Toby, before I even get to any callers, I'm gonna hog the mic here for a second. I have a lot of things to talk to you about. I want to start with the surge in crime, because Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, was asked about this yesterday, and I found her response very telling. Can we play that cut, Jared?
As the murder rate nears a 25-year high, would he consider maybe trying something different?
Trying something other than supporting a massive plus-up in funding from his predecessor, cracking down on gun trafficking and gun violence, which is a major driver of the violence we've seen across the country, working to support community policing programs and police departments across the country. I think most people who want to fight crime would agree that's the right approach.
Toby, would you agree that cracking down on guns is the right approach here?
Absolutely not. It works zero times it's tried. If you look at, especially in America, there's always going to be the people that point to Australia, which, by the way, now that they have no guns, they have tyranny running rampant in the streets. But besides that whole point, most of the time when you try to hinder people's free exercise of the ability to, you know, defend themselves against evil, then crime goes up. Criminals prefer unarmed, you know, victims over armed victims. You look at, you know, Plano, Texas, the number one county in America for gun ownership. I think it's the average person owns 9.6 guns in Plano, Texas. They also have, conversely, the lowest crime rate, violent crime rate in, you know, the United States of America. So everywhere you look where you ban guns and make it harder for people to defend themselves, you know, it's like cutting the horns off of the antelope to defend itself against the lion. It doesn't make sense in nature. It doesn't make sense in the United States of America. And it fails every time it's tried. They think they have the moral high ground by blaming an inanimate object and blaming the evil intent of people on the gun accessibility. But when someone's committed to violent crime, they're going to they're going to commit violent crime, and it's best if people can defend themselves against it.
And Toby, you just mentioned that a lot of places that have the strictest gun laws see an uptick in violence, and I'm glad you brought that up because there's a horrible, devastating story that came out of Chicago yesterday, and I want to play two cuts for you. This is first the news report explaining the story. This is cut 20.
Police say the girl was an innocent bystander walking outside with her mother when gunfire erupted and she was shot in her head. She was taken here to Stroger Hospital where she passed away.
Now let's play. This was an activist who was interviewed afterwards. His name's Andrew Holmes. Let's listen to what he had to say. Cut 19.
It's unsafe right now. And I'm very seriously talking from my heart. It is unsafe. Children can't run. They can't play. They want to go to school. They can't go to school. This girl would never go to school.
Now, Toby, if we were to ever find, and I'm sure they will, find the person who did this, who committed this heinous, heinous crime, this tragedy on this 8-year-old child, do you think that any of the gun laws that are in place in Chicago made this harder for him? Or clearly they didn't, because this happened either way.
Criminals, by definition, don't follow the law. So they are totally unaffected by laws that are put on the books or passed by these politicians who think they're making the world a better place by making it harder for law-abiding, responsible people to buy a gun and defend themselves. So it's impossible to create a law that will then make us safer, because criminals, by definition, don't follow the law. It's why they're criminals, and they're committed to a life of crime. And so, you know, it's tragic, and I see it time and time again in our nation's biggest cities. And if I can digress for a second, if there ever was a law that is by nature racist, you know, we hear about how voter ID laws are racist and et cetera, just by having to present an ID. Well, I think gun control is the most racist agenda out there, because it affects those who live in high crime areas and low income areas the most. And our nation's inner cities, which a lot of minority populations live there, have trouble acquiring a gun to defend themselves in the place that they need it most. And there's nothing more racist than that. And you go back to the roots of gun control, and it was actually to keep black people from being able to possess guns. It has been rooted in racism from the start, and it continues to be rooted in racism up till today. And it's awful that people can't purchase a gun to defend themselves. And everywhere it's tried, where highly, gun-controlled areas of our country have some of the highest crime rates in our country.
Now, I promise the listeners, I am going to get to you. The call-in number is 844-500-4242. I have not forgotten, but Toby, I have to read you one other thing. So in New York City, we have seen some examples of this. Over the weekend, there was a horrible shooting, and it killed police officer Jason Rivera, and I'm sure you've seen the headlines. Joe Borelli, who's a New York City councilman, had an incredibly enlightening thread on this, and I wanted to read you a couple of these tweets and just have you react. He said, "We need to be clear about something when we talk about gun violence. We already have laws against the gun that killed P.O. Rivera, police officer Rivera, specifically the high-capacity magazine. We already have laws against the manner in which he possessed it, how he acquired it, and how it was transported from Baltimore to Harlem. This heinous crime proves laws are meaningless if they are not enforced. That's why it's so bizarre to hear the same people who said defund the police now say we have to stop gun violence. Like, who's gonna stop it? We decided to reform the way police officers interact with the community. Many of those reforms are beneficial and welcome, but it's undeniable that ending plainclothes anti-crime teams, which were responsible for seizing the bulk of illegal guns off the street, has had an impact." Toby, what do you make of what's happening in New York City, and specifically to the NYPD? They basically this weekend were crying out for help. They're like, we can't really do this anymore.
It breaks my heart, because police are out there doing a lot of good work, and they're dealing with the off-scouring of the earth on a daily basis. And unfortunately, there's been a 2-year war against police in America. There's been, you know, calls from politicians everywhere to defund them. They've been letting felons out of jail because of COVID restrictions, and they've been, targeting these entire groups of people, first responders, on Twitter and mainstream media for 2 years. And, you know, there's very little support for our police officers. And now you hear the press secretary saying, oh, we're going to support community policing and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, the horse is out of the barn. Like, you've let this go way too far. It's too little too late, in my opinion. And the only thing that's going to stop it is to get extremely tough on crime. No more catch and release, no more low bail for heinous crimes. You look at all these people, 95% of violent crime is a repeat offender. That's what most people don't realize, is we have this, you know, and so by design, we are creating the system that we're looking and seeing every day, just by the nature of it. We're rewarding criminal behavior by letting them out of jail early, by low bail, by low bond, and putting them out on the street again, in some cases by no bail, and you know, to go back out and commit crime. The guy who drove into the crowd in Waukesha was out on bail, and he was tried to run over his girlfriend within a couple of weeks prior to that. And it's just ridiculous. We keep rewarding bad behavior and expecting different results. So,
yes, all right. Now, Toby, great answers. I do have to go to one caller here before we go to the break, or else people are going to rebel against me. They're going to get mad. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're first on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks a lot, and really enjoy your program, Toby. It's good to talk to you. I've got a question I'm thinking about up in my FAL program, and a friend of mine recommended a DSA and commented that I could put the Israeli furniture on that rifle, which is pretty short money these days. Just wondering what your opinion is on that DSA-FAL.
The DSA-FAL is a very solid gun. I know that they've been making them for a long time, worked out the kinks and whatnot. I love it with the Israeli furniture on there. It is hopefully something you can find, because obviously it's one of the enumerated guns on the Massachusetts assault weapons ban. But if you're not in the state, you don't have to worry about it. But it'll be a great shooter. The FAL is just a great classic rifle, and it's the DSA has kind of worked out the everyday shooter version of it, if you're not, you know, getting a really historic piece that's worth a lot of money. So you can put all kinds of attachments on them and change them around, the furniture, etc. So yeah, I think you're on to something there. If you can get a hold of one, it's a great gun for the money, and you'll have years of enjoyment with it. So it's a cool gun.
All right, thanks for the call, Jonathan. Get on the line now. It's 844-500-4242. I promise I'm done with all my questions for Toby. I'm going to hand it over to you guys. You can ask him rapid-fire questions when we return. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, you know that sometimes you're looking at it and you're thinking, that's going to taste so good right now, and that's going to feel terrible in the morning. Well, I have a solution for you. Many wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life, but it's time to skip the middleman. Bonner Private Wines Partnership has exactly what you need. From the first time I tasted this wine, I could taste the freshness. It complemented, we eat a lot of steak in my house, so it complemented the steak. But since then, I've had it with a variety of dishes, and it's always delicious. I slept like a baby, too. I had no morning regrets. And that's because some of these cheap wines, they add a lot of additives, really. And they're trying to get them to last longer. They're trying to make them taste better. But the quality of the wine is not there. And so what that leads to is you feeling, well, hungover the next day. You don't want that. You want to have no morning regrets. The Bonner Private Wines Partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine just to add a fancy label. They search the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, like I said, only to add an inflated price. A lot of times you're getting these cheap wines, they're not even cheap price-wise. This is a good quality wine. You'll enjoy every pop of the cork. It will be an adventure. You can savor and enjoy this wine. I have the Malbecs at my house, and they're to die for. I had a group of girlfriends over the other day. We all had a glass, and people were asking me, where did you get this? I haven't seen this label. Where can I get this? And I said, you have to join the Bonner Private Wines Partnership, and you can have it delivered directly to your door. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. So go to B-O-N-N. BonnerPrivateWines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. That's BonnerPrivateWines.com/grace. Don't forget the slash grace because that will take you directly to this link, which is very helpful. All right, we'll be back with your calls for Toby Leary. It's 844-500-4242. Get on the line now. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
We have Toby Leary for the next 20 or so minutes. So call in now to get your question answered by the gun guru of the Grace Curley Show. Let's first go to Jim. You're next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Toby. How you doing? Very good. Have a quick question. I went to the Attleboro Police Department to get like an application for to get a license to carry.
Yep.
And on the application, it requires you to have two references. And like in my case, you know, I'm like 68 years old, and the references, they can't be relatives, so they're going to be like somebody else besides a relative. So I'm just saying, how do you get it? Is there a way to get around that?
You know, it never ceases to amaze me the lengths that this state goes to restrict your gun rights. And the fact that you have to provide, like, it's not a job interview. You know, you're there, if you're not a felon and you're not a prohibited person, you should be able to just get your license without too many questions. But this state loves the, you know, to infringe upon our rights on a daily basis. And so what they do is they make you list two non-relative, you know, references that can vouch for your character. And generally speaking, I don't think they always call them in every town, but, you know, I would just maybe someone from the local club or, you know, church or, you know, work or something, you know, if you're retired, maybe just an old buddy or something. It doesn't have to be somebody in the state either, if you know people from your hometown and you moved here. So you can just put down someone who can say, yeah, he's a good guy. He didn't, you know, he doesn't kill people on the weekends, and, you know, that's basically the end of it. But it is amazing the hoops that they make you jump through in order to, you know, obtain your constitutional right in this state. So unfortunately, but that's what we're stuck with for now. So I would just do the best you can. I don't think there's a way around it. I'd just put down a couple of references that aren't your mother or your wife or daughter or something like that.
Yeah, good luck, Jim. Good question. 844-500-4242. Get on the line now to talk to Toby Leary about any of your gun questions. Really quickly here, today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite weekend retreat. I really love the Follinsbee Inn. It's beautiful every time of year. I specifically love this time of year, though, because you can really cozy up next to the fire, play some board games. It's such a fun time, and it's just a beautiful spot. That's Follinsbee, Follansbee, the Follinsbee Inn. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
You can only listen to one for the rest of your life. Who do you choose? Blinken, Spotify, James Taylor, Neil Young, or Bruce Springsteen?
All right, I'm going to stick with Bruce Springsteen. I've picked
Between
him twice.
Red and blue.
I like a few of his songs. I wouldn't want to listen to them for the rest of my life, but that is the poll question. So I'm going to go with Bruce Springsteen. I'm going to let Toby Leary cast his vote as well. Go ahead, Toby.
Jeez, that's a tough one. What was the first one?
Oh, Anthony Blinken's Spotify playlist.
Oh, no. Geez, I don't know. I guess I'll go with you, Grace, on this one, say Springsteen, even though a couple of his songs really annoy me, but a few of them are good listeners. So, you know, that's the easy pick. It's the quick pick.
Okay, quick pick. Let's hear the results.
Bruce Springsteen polling at 19%, 15% for Blink and Spotify, and we have a tie at the top, 33% each for James Taylor and Neil Young.
All right, 844-500-4242. Let's get full lines for Toby Leary when we get back. All your gun questions will be answered. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Jen Psaki was asked by Peter Ducey, you know, with these rising crime rates, if Joe Biden would ever consider doing anything differently. And she essentially, when you really boil it down, she said no. These Democrats are still going to stick to the party line, the company line, which is, you know, we need more gun control. Now, my guest, Toby Leary, joins us every Tuesday for Two-Way Tuesdays, and he takes all of your calls. If you want to call in, the number is 844-500-4242. You can also text in to 63566. Start the text with the word Curly. Let's first, though, go to David. David, you're first up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, David.
Good afternoon, Grace and Toby. I was curious. I've always been an avid hunter, and years ago I went through a bad divorce, and there was a restraining order involved, and my rights to own a gun have been taken away. I was always told that I would have to be pardoned by a governor to get them back. Is there recourse for that? Or
that's a good question.
It's a felony on your record?
No, not that I know of. It was in Iowa, and she had a restraining order put on me. As far as I know, my right to own a gun was taken away for some reason. All my guns were confiscated, and there was no felony, but that was part of the restraining order. As far, I don't know.
Sure. I think your rights can be restored if you've had a restraining order taken out against you, depending on what the outcome of it was. So, you know, unfortunately, in the day and age we live in, during divorce, that is sometimes the play of people, whether it's warranted or not. I have friends that have gone through a divorce, and their wives have threatened them to just to make their life miserable when it comes to owning a gun, you know, take out a restraining on them, knowing that all their guns will get confiscated and they'll have to fight like heck to get them back, whether or not there was any type of abusive behavior that took place during that situation. So what you're going to need to do is get an attorney to really try to fight that, to clear your name there, and that's the best way to do it. If you know, you had a neutral outcome, then you should be able to get your rights restored pretty easily. But I think it'll take some court action on a lawyer's part in whatever county you were from. So that's the way it is. I don't think it requires a governor pardon unless you had, an abuse, documented abuse situation with a felony or some sort of, pending jail time that got, you know, put aside or continued without a finding. So, call a lawyer on that. And Keith Langer is a lawyer we have on our show all the time, and we ask him these kind of questions on the air. So I'm going to ask him that tomorrow. When we record for Rapid Fire, but that's a great question.
All right, so you have to tune in tomorrow too, David, to find out more about that. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Christian. You're next up with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, Grace. Hey, Toby. I had a question for Toby. I have recently moved to Southern California, and with all the stuff that's going on up in L.A., I'm getting worried and potentially thinking about purchasing a firearm in the near future. I was just curious, do you know how hard that is going to be with a state like California? Because I don't have any idea right now.
Yeah, it's California and Massachusetts compete for the most restrictive gun laws in the country. And actually, a sheriff, I think, in Fresno was just indicted for a pay-to-play scheme there. So, in other words, if you wanted your license to carry in her county, you had to, you know, buy her something nice. And, you know, there was, like, San Jose Sharks hockey game tickets dropped off. And I, Apple brought her new iPads to their security team and all this stuff. You can read about it online. But it's very difficult to get and obtain a license to carry in the state of California. I don't know if they require that license just to purchase a gun for the home like we do in Massachusetts. Like, to purchase any gun, you need a license here in Mass. I can't remember if California is like that or not. I presume they do because they're just as strict as Massachusetts is. But what I would do is reach out to a local gun store and like an NRA-certified instructor there, and you can start the process by getting your certification there and apply for it at the local PD so that you can start the lengthy process that it's going to be in order to get your license in California. So out of the fire and into the frying pan, if you left Massachusetts to go to California, it's more of the same, unfortunately, but... yeah, good luck with that. Hopefully you'll get it.
Now, Toby, it sounded the way Christian was framing that, and thank you for the call, Christian, like he really just wants it for protection in his home. What kind of gun do you think is the best? You know, if you're not looking to really use it recreationally or, you know, for hunting or anything like that, what is the best gun to start with?
Sure. I would stick with a, like, large, a full-size striker-fired 9mm pistol, like a, you know, either a Smith & Wesson M&P, or in California, believe it or not, you can own Glocks, which you can't own here in Massachusetts. But they have a list, like we do, a mass-approved weapons roster. So there's going to be limited amount of guns. I don't think they've added a new gun for like 7 or 8 years to their roster. But there's a pretty big roster there. So I'd get like a full-size Glock 17 or an M&P 9, something like that, where it's easy to shoot, it's full size, you're not worried about concealability, it's a little bit easier to be accurate, it has rails so you can put on a flashlight if you want, or a laser type of device if you for home defense. There's certainly a situation where that could come in handy. But that's where I'd start, and a full size striker fired 9mm gun, easiest to shoot. You don't have a lot of bells and whistles on it that you got to defeat in order to get the gun working.
Toby, I'm glad you brought up the laser because we actually have a text message that plays into this question a little bit. Jared, could you read that for Toby?
Yeah. Hi, Toby. I have a Glock 19 and want a combo light and laser. However, I'd like something that doesn't extend over the barrel. Price is not an issue.
All right. So the price not being an issue, I would probably look at the Streamlight TLRs or the... one of the best values. I know you said the price isn't an issue, but more compact light is the Nightstick ones. They make a light laser combo that's, I believe, mid $150 range, so maybe $189 or something like that. But they're great. They're very compact. They have a green laser or a red laser model, or even the Crimson Trace one is pretty compact and slim. My personal favorite is the Surefire one, but it definitely is a little bit bigger and bulkier, and it does stick past the muzzle of the gun a little bit. So if that's one of the big things to you is to not extend past the muzzle, I would look at the Nightstick one. Those seem to be pretty rugged, and I know they have a lifetime warranty. So, we have a bunch of ones on our website too. You could always check out CapeGunWorks.com and see what we have for sale up there. But those are all good lasers. Streamlight, Surefire, any of the big brands like that. Nightstick has come on strong as of late. Crimson Trace, they're all good. And Veridian makes a good one as well. I really like the Veridian one because they have that auto on. So when you draw it out of the holster, it automatically comes on in whichever configuration you want, whether it be light only or light and laser combo, or laser-only combo. So that's a good choice as well, that instant on when you draw it out of a holster is a cool feature. You don't have to worry about flipping a switch or, whatever. And the Crimson Trace one has them that when you grip the gun, the light laser combo comes on, which is also good. You don't have to flick a switch or anything like that. So I'd look at those. Those are the big four I deal with mostly, and they work out well.
Now, Toby, we're getting a lot of texts today, and 617 says, Toby, from your experience, what percentage of people who carry take concealed carry courses?
Oh, unfortunately, it's a very low number, and I wish this number would get bigger because I'm one of the guys who, I'm not only the president, I'm also a client. But it took me a long time to have the dawn rise on Marblehead, if you will. I carried a gun for 15 years before I took a real serious concealed carry course. And I was so disgusted with myself at the end of that day, you know, that it took me 15 years to actually take a class. There's so much more that goes into carrying a gun outside in the real world than just being able to draw the gun, drive out on target, and hit the target. There's so much more involved. And unfortunately, a lot of people take the required state-mandated class to get their license to carry, even if it has a live-fire component to it, and goes to the range and fires their gun, hits the target, and they're like, I'm good to go. And we tell in our license to carry class, this is how to get my license class. If you want to learn how to shoot my gun class or how to carry a gun in the real world class, come take a class specific to that, because you're not going to get all the other stuff on how to fill out the application, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important that people who are going to carry a gun take the necessary training to be responsibly armed out in the public space for their own safety, not only for their own safety, but the safety of those that they're carrying a gun to protect, and to make sure that they can use the gun in a safe and efficient manner should the need arise. So I think statistics show that it's like 2 to 5% of all gun owners ever take a class outside of what's required of them to get their permit.
Wow.
That's too bad on us in the industry. I think that trend is trending upward, but I'd like to see the industry as a whole kind of put that responsibility on gun owners to say, like, hey, have you ever taken a class on how to carry a gun in the real world?
You know? Yeah, and you're right. It's almost like when you think about you know, if you're in finance or if you're in medicine or if you're even a teacher, you're required to take a lot of courses throughout the course of your career to stay at the top of your game, and so people know that you are still aware of, you know, the rules and regulations of whatever business you're in, and it is a huge responsibility. So I understand what you're saying. It's important to get refreshers every once in a while.
Yeah, and I think like 88% of all gun owners say that they buy a gun for personal protection. So if you say you carry a gun for personal protection and you've never taken a course in the safe and efficient use of how to use that gun in that situation, I say you're lying to yourself. I know that's some hard words, but I really do. I think you're lying to yourself. You're more of a gun collector than you are a serious student of the gun or a serious student of somebody who wants to use that gun in a way that would keep them safe in a worst-case scenario.
Well said.
Yeah, and the good news is it is unlikely that we would need a gun for self-defense. Unfortunately, that's more likely than it was 4 or 5 years ago or 3 or 4 years ago, you know, as crime rates rise and things get crazy. But on the other hand, I still see it's a great way to kind of equalize or level the playing field. But the onus should be on us to get trained in that safe and efficient use. So.
Well, it's funny, Toby, because we've been talking a lot over the last couple of days about Ukraine and Russia, and Biden came out today and said he will not be sending American troops into Ukraine. And the reason that I think of this is because he was telling, you know, embassy officials, they were getting embassy officials out of the Ukraine. They were also telling Americans who were there to leave. And a spokesperson or an official from the Ukraine said that America was overreacting. And then he said that you're actually safer in Ukraine than you are in L.A. And that makes me think of Christian, the caller we just had, where you're right. It is becoming more and more likely that you are going to be in, you know, a dangerous area or a dangerous situation. And that is unfortunate, but that's just the reality that we're in. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, where can people find you, you know, if they want to go in person or if they want to find you on the web?
Yeah, thank you, Grace. So they can go to capegunworks.com is our website, or come visit us at the store in Hyannis. We'd love to have you down at the range. And you can shoot here, you can shop in the store, or take a class. We'll train you to a really good standard of the minimum, what I would say, standard to carry a gun out there and or defend yourself in the home. And we'll help you in any way you need help in those areas. Or you can listen to us on Rapid Fire every Saturday or Sunday, depending on which station you listen to. If you go to capegunworks.com, click on Rapid Fire, you'll see how to get signed up and listen to us when we record the show. And you can ask questions there as well, type into the chat or call in, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. And or you can always listen to us on Grace Curley on 2-8 Tuesday, which we love to be a part of. So
yes, if you didn't get your question answered today, there's always next week. Toby Leary, thank you so much. We will be back with Howard Lawrence Carr for the Carr crossover. We're going to ask him a little bit about his thoughts on Neil Young versus Joe Rogan, on Peter Ducey versus Joe Biden. A lot of Joes in the news today. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Let's go.
Thank you, guys.
Let's go.
Thank you, guys.
You
guys, come on. Let's go.
Thank you. There's not going to be any American forces moving into Ukraine.
When we bring
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Never a dull moment lately in Joe Biden's White House. Today's Carr crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Was that a new cut?
That Grace? Was a new cut. I got it in with two minutes left of the show.
Max Boot is going to be very disappointed.
He is. Why?
And so is Liz Cheney. You know, all the neocons.
Yes.
Well, that was extremely angry.
You know, Howie, today I was doing a lot of talking about the stupid SOB cut that was just too good not to play. But a lot of the callers were actually still going back to the fact that they do not want us to use American troops in this very tense situation between Ukraine and Russia. They know there's no interest in it for Americans, and they don't want to send, you know, our guys or our ladies over there to fight this.
I want to see those 8,500 troops that they've put on high alert. I mean, let's send them down to the southern border. I mean, there's all these crazy stories that, now they're the UN, which is basically financed by the U.S., is giving out debit cards to the would-be illegal aliens, you know, who are still in Mexico, just so they can make their way to the U.S. to get on. They're giving them early welfare payments so they can get up to the U.S. to get on welfare. It's crazy.
It really is crazy, Howie. And do you notice that Joe Biden is in a horrible mood these last couple days? It would seem that the Wednesday presser from last week really set him off, because he's even nastier than normal.
Yeah, do you think he even remembers what he said to the one horse pony yesterday? Tucker mentioned that last night at like 8 o'clock, and said, "I doubt he even remembers what he said." And I suddenly occurred to me, it's probably true.
I think when he's being mean is when he's probably his most lucid, so it might stick with him. But even if you look at the past couple months, he didn't tend to be this open about how much he hated Peter Ducey or Fox News or journalists in general. And the idea,
or Americans.
Yeah, and the idea that he's caught on a hot mic. I mean, it was right in front of him.
Right. I know. And it's if you look at the picture, it's the 1,000-yard stare, which, you know, they used to talk about PTSD or drunk driving. Now it's just the 1,000-yard stare is Brandon. Right?
Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere, guys. He's got a full show planned. We'll be back tomorrow. This is The Grace Curley Show.